sometimes when we read in the scriptures, we get bogged down in things that we've read a dozen times before, and we'll just skim it because we've seen the words before. This is a real important point about us meditating upon the word, taking it a little at a time, and really understanding what God is saying to us through it, and about being able to apply it to our lives. You take it something as simple as the way Jesus starts us off. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful. Really think about this. I am the true vine. This is the gospel of exclusion, not inclusion. You're in Jesus or you ain't in it. Now, he's going to go on to explain what being in the vine means. But there's only one vine, the true vine. There isn't another. If you have doubts and you have anxieties about this, put them to rest. There's one way, and that's Jesus. There is no other way to God. You have to take the things, and this is one of the things that you'll see in this if you'll really look. If you'll really look with open eyes. Jesus says a lot of things throughout the New Testament, in the Gospels, and then through the Apostles. But this is a clarity from his own lips. We've read in John before where he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. Really let the scriptures come together to proclaim the truth of this. Jesus doesn't contradict himself. Now, if you listen to men, they have him contradicting himself. Oh, well, Jesus never said he was God. It's not true. Jesus never said he was the only way to come to God. Not true. Every other religion, when they look at Jesus, they try to accept him to a certain point because he brings them a clothing of respectability. But he doesn't leave room for them at all. This is a gospel of exclusion. It's through Jesus because he is the only sacrifice for sin. There is no other way. And where they will claim him, they will only claim him as a man or a good man or as a prophet. They will not proclaim him for who he is. And therefore, the person they're representing to you isn't even Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. The only vine that God is tending, the only vine that God is tending as the gardener is this one. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now this should hit you like a ton of bricks. If you really hear what it's saying, he cuts off. This isn't as some people want to twist it and say, well, you'll just die in the flesh, but you'll still go to heaven. Or he'll just punish you for not doing right. Listen to what it says. Cut off. Let me read to you the same sense of being cut off from Romans chapter 11. When we talk about being grafted in again into a plant, this is the vine, and the other picture is the olive tree. The olive tree. In Romans chapter 11, when Paul talks about this olive tree, he says this. Verse 17, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the same nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. They were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Therefore, consider the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Same sense of the word. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. There is nothing that says here in this cut off that it's a temporary thing or just a punishment thing. It's a done thing. It's an over thing. Every branch in Christ. And it shows you that you have to be in Christ, in the vine, in order to be cut off from it. You have to actually be in it to be cut off from it. Let me say it again. You have to actually be in it to be cut off from it. There is no other understanding here. It doesn't leave room for any other understanding. Every branch in me, and the me here is Christ, every branch in me that bears no fruit, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Now the pruning, this is where we talk about the punishment. This is where we talk about the punishment. As it tells us in Hebrews, every son God receives, he scourges. He disciplines. Otherwise, you would be bastards. You would be illegitimate children. Every branch in him, he prunes, that it may be more fruitful. He's going to discipline you. Hence, we get the name disciple. A disciplined one. Disciple. Now, these got to become more than words, because you've got to look at this and find where you're at in this vine. You, personally, have got to look at where you're at in this vine. Nobody can know that but you and God and Christ. You've got to ask yourself, am I being fruitful? Am I a fruitful branch in this vine? Are you? I can't answer that. No other man can. Only you, God, and Jesus can answer that. Y'all are the only ones who can deal with that. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. This has got to become a reality to you. Don't be arrogant, but be afraid. This gives us an idea about the fear of the Lord. And this, we're not talking about having this picture of God that he's going to just cut you off for no reason or anything like that, are we? But we are talking about a reality that cannot go ignored. Now listen to what he says as we go on. As he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Now this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples, and this is before he died. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now this really, if you'll look at it, shows the impossibility of you being able to stand alone or please God by your own righteousness. Or produce anything of any eternal value of yourself. When he says you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you, remain in me and I will remain in you. For the disciples at that moment, it had a meaning. His words were in them. His words were in them. Now, what does this mean? Now, this is before Jesus died and rose again when he said this to them. We've got to see how this applies to us. And we have to have a clarity of how it applies to us. That he's talking to more than just those disciples there that were listening. More than just those 30-something disciples that were there. More than just the 12 that were there. We've got to have a clarity. How does this speak to us? To them, before Jesus had even died, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. The words he has spoken to them, remain in me, you're already clean. That means his words found a place in their heart. And how does that work? It is through faith. It is through faith. See, they were greeting the promise of Christ through walking with him in that moment. Now, we've got to understand what it means to be the difference in the way that Peter and John and James were witnesses to Christ and the way we're witnesses to Christ. The way they were witnesses of his resurrection and the way we are witnesses of his resurrection. See, we weren't literally there. They were. They literally walked with Christ. They literally heard the words coming out of his mouth, not reading them out of a scripture as we do. And so they were real and living in that moment. What makes it real and living for us? That we can be witnesses to his resurrection. The difference, the Holy Spirit is in us. God himself dwells in us through his Spirit. This is why there is no difference in between what they had now and what we had then. What they had then and what we have now. Because it is both by faith and is both with walking with God. Those are the two factors, aren't they? That is both by faith and both come from walking with God. Their literal witnessing is a figure for us of how we literally witness in the truth, the Spirit. And as his words were in them, so the word is in us, but it's made alive how? Through the Holy Spirit. Remain in me and I will remain in you. And so this isn't just written to them alone before Jesus died. This is written to all of us. We know what it is to abide in Christ, don't we? We know what it is to abide in Christ. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And this tells us something really poignant about the relationship we have with Jesus. It is not a matter of what people have been saying for so long. It is not a matter of just trying to please God according to yourself and trying hard to please him and not to sin. It's a matter of whether you abide in him and he abides in you. It's a matter of being one with him through the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And if you remain in him, he will remain in you. And this is the thing. While it tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, what does this tell us? While it tells us there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, what does this tell us? It tells you you can be cut off. And that if you remain in him, he will remain in you. So what is the one thing that can separate you from Christ? You. You. Becomes very clear, doesn't it? Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. See, this comes to the heart of the matter, that it is no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. He must bear the fruit through us. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, we find this all to be true. Now, this is the perfect description of the terms of your salvation through faith. You won't find it any more clearly stated in all of Scripture. These are the terms. It all comes down to, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. That's what it all comes down to. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. These are the terms of how you produce. These are the terms of how you obtain salvation. These are the terms of what Jesus will do if. And how do you remain in him? Through faith. Through faith. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this is the key here. Notice how there's no effort implied. There's no effort. Where is the effort implied here? There's no effort in you producing, because it's automatic. If you remain in Christ, and he remain in you, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. No effort in bearing the fruit at all on your part, is there? Hear it clearly. No effort in you whatsoever in bearing the fruit. It comes from you remaining in him. So where's your effort? Where's your effort? Your effort is to remain in him. That's your effort. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will. No effort at all. Because you know why no effort? It ain't your job. It's Christ's job in you. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. It's automatic. You have an automatic salvation here. If you remain in him, there's where your effort is. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See how clear he makes it? Again, we see the truth that no place other in the entire Scripture is it more clearly stated than here, the terms of your salvation. Nowhere else in the whole of Scripture is it any more clearly stated than it is right here. These are the terms of your salvation. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Where does that imagery come from? It comes from the fiery lake. Not hell. Not hell, because people remain in hell, don't they? They wait in hell till judgment. But every branch in him that does not bear fruit is thrown away. The thrown away is hell. The gathered to be burned, though, is where? The cut off is hell. The gathered to be burned is the fiery lake. Listen to it again. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is something, because it is so matter-of-factly stated, that it can be tested. If you are in Christ, and if you remain in him, right? and my words remain in you. Ask whatever you will, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Wait, hold on. Whoa, let's back up. Wow. Let me ask you. Does this promise come true the minute you receive Christ? A lot of people are asking, why haven't they received whatever they've desired, they've asked for, and have not received? Does this promise come true the minute you receive Christ? No. Why? Where's the clarity here? Hear it again. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given. If you remain. If you remain. If you remain. To remain. To remain in Christ. That's not when you first came into Christ, is it? That's after you've been with Christ. That means something has had to happen for you to remain. What has had to have happened? Trials and tribulations. That's what's had to happen. The Father, who is the gardener, has to have already have come to the plant and pulled out those who don't remain. He's had to already have pulled out some of those who don't remain, that don't bear fruit, and he has had already to have pruned you at least once. For you to have remained. Is that not true? No, this isn't to somebody who's just been born again. Ask whatever you will, and it'll be given to you. This is, people aren't hearing. People aren't hearing. Listen to how we started it. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful. Now tie that with, if you remain in me. If you remain in me, when? After when? After that pruning has happened. After that pulling out of the old and the no good has happened. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. You've had to have stood in the trials, huh? You've had to have been disciplined. In order to be one that remains, you'd have already had to have to come face to face with the gardener. Exactly. If we remain, then our desires will be in line with God's desires for us. And anything we ask will be given. Very good. Very good. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, if you're going to have that time in and have undergone these trials to show yourself to be his disciple. You can't just say it. You can't just say it. You have to do it. Hello? There goes once saved, always saved out the window right there, doesn't it? Shoo! It's gone. There goes the same pretty words. And it's over with. Right there. Right there. It has to be shown. You have to show yourselves to be his disciples. You have to remain. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Hello? How do we remain in his love? See, all of these things, all of a sudden, where there is no, there's no, on all these verses they like to quote, there's nothing that you have to do. All of a sudden, there's something you have to do. Why is this? Think about it. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. You have to remain in his love. How do you do that? By being in communion with him, right? If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. How can you obey his commands? You don't have the power to of yourself, because apart from Christ, you can do nothing. You see it? Your discipleship is going to be tested and proved. Your discipleship is going to be tested and proved. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. That's how you can be sure. When you see that manifested in you, that you can obey his commands. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. See, Jesus didn't just say, Father, I love you. Jesus was obedient unto death. Jesus didn't just say, Father, I love you and honor you. He loved God and honored him through what he did. He was obedient unto death. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. All of the things that we thought were all of a sudden unconditional are very conditional. Are very conditional. Are extremely conditional. Aren't they? I have told you this that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now Jesus, this is where people get lost in this part. They're concentrating on the fact that Jesus laid down his life for his friends. But remember how he started off saying this. Remember how he started off saying this. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He laid his life down for us. Whoa! That's where it starts. We're not just talking about what Jesus did for us. We're talking about what we should be doing for each other to show that we are of Christ. Huh. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Not just with words, it takes actions, doesn't it? Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. Wow, you're his friends if you said the pretty words? No, you're his friends if you did what he commands. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do no longer call you servants because the servant does not know his master's business. Ooh, this is where we get into the revelation of Christ. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. You want to see the reality of God? Here's the conditions. You want to see salvation? Here's the conditions. You want to know the truth of the gospel and whether or not you're in it? How do you remain? Here's the conditions. And the one condition that's required of you, all of this obedience and everything else, is about remaining in him. Because you can bear no fruit unless you remain in him. He will bear fruit through you, but you must remain in him. People who neglect their prayer life, who neglect talking to God, who neglect studying the scriptures to show themselves approved, they aren't remaining in Christ. Because that's at the heart of it. Isn't it? And that's what's going to produce. How can you be obedient what you have no knowledge to be obedient to? How can you have the power to be obedient? Christ wants to live his obedience. He was obedient unto death. He wants to live that obedience in you. He wants to live that life of obedience in you. But you have to be submitted to Him in order to live it. You must remain in Him so that He can remain in you. This is fundamental. This is the fundamental root of the gospel, and anybody that's teaching a different gospel is teaching a lie. Once saved, always saved, saying the pretty words, is a lie. Work salvation, earning your salvation, is a lie. This, you will not find it any more clearly demonstrated anywhere else in the Scripture, the basis of your salvation in Christ. And I pray that as a bottom line, that when we explain the gospel to brothers and sisters, that we use what Jesus gave us here in John 15. Because the clarity is so invasive. It's right there in your face. Amen? It's a good place to stop for now.